It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us. No good afternoon again today because it's been a really crappy news day. Or as Fox News calls it, Christmas season. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we had Election Day? Remember the day after and you kind of felt good? Remember that feeling? I now feel like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. That was a good day. Why don't I get to live that day over and over again? No, that one good day has once again been swallowed up by bad day after bad day. I guess today and yesterday's activities can be summed up with the New York Times headline, "Senators race to pass tax bill by sweetening gains for rich." And the subheadline, "Way to appeal to wavering Republicans." That's right, because the problem with the Senate tax bill was it was not generous enough to big donors, apparently. They're racing to pass the tax bill because, of course, they are trying to give their donors a Christmas gift. And, of course, because they're trying to get this done before anybody finds out what they're doing. Because if people start finding out what they're doing, they might have to answer some questions. Oh, by the way, those of you who managed to sit through an entire episode of Forward Nation Radio, congratulations. You can now sit through the entirety of the Senate hearings on the tax bill to radically change our tax structure and our economy. Great. Well, they didn't quite beat the CBO scoring, which agreed with every other organization analyzing the tax bills. And here's a surprise. Taxes will go up for those making less than $75,000. They will go up for two-thirds of the middle class. The deficit will go up by about $1.4 trillion. And in case you're not happy enough already, it especially rewards sloth. Those people who benefit the most from the tax bill are people who don't even work for a living, but who make their money through investments or other passive income. Oh, goody. We're being told, as always, and we've reported on this several times already on the show, the idea of trickle-down economics. Come on, people, tighten your belts a little bit more, because if we could just give a little bit more money to billionaires, eventually it will trickle down to you. It's been about 37 years and counting, and we are getting so close to it trickling down. I can feel it already. We're being told that we give corporations, especially all this money and their wealthy owners, and they will invest in America and they will make jobs. Gee, where have I heard that before? Oh, right, the last time there was a Republican president, we were doing the exact same thing, which it turns out didn't work out that way. Corporations are not going to take that money and hire workers and invest in America. How do I know that? They're sitting on about $2 trillion worth of cash reserves as we speak. They're not short of money. They're not investing it in America. The Dow is up 13%, I think, this year alone. The wealthy have gotten ever wealthier than they've been. The Forbes 400 is worth about $2.6 trillion. Giving them more money isn't going to do much. But wait a minute, we're told by Republicans, especially the on-the-fence Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, this is about small businesses. Well, let's discuss that canard for a moment or two. They define small businesses by the type of business organization you have, meaning that some of the largest and wealthiest businesses in America, including those such as Goldman Sachs, are classified as small businesses, according to the Republicans. In fact, 70% of income of pass-through businesses, those that we're told are small businesses, goes to the top 1% of Americans. This is not helping old McDonald. It's not helping the guy with a corner shoe store. It's helping the rich get richer. One thing that we were promised on this tax bill, which actually would have been a positive, would have been tax simplification. Why is that important? Well, it's important to know who you're giving the tax cuts to, because right now, a lot of our money is being spent on tax avoidance. Rather than invest in hiring workers, corporations find it more lucrative to invest in tax lawyers and accountants who figure out how they can avoid paying taxes. We're not even getting that simplification. We're just getting the tax cuts. Here's a change, a suggestion. Why don't we try trickle up for a change instead of trickle down? There's a reason that corporations don't invest in America, and that's because when too many people in America don't have any money, there's nobody to buy their products. When corporations are sitting with excess inventory, you can give them all the tax breaks they want. They're not going to be spending that money on making more inventory. How about giving money to people who can't afford to buy stuff? The recent USDA report noted that 41 million Americans, 13 million children, are classified as food insecure, meaning they're not sure where their next meal is coming from or even if it's coming. Maybe we might get more business if we gave more money to these people so they could buy stuff. Yeah, well, elect a Democratic government and we can have this conversation again. Brave Republican watch? Where are my brave Republicans to prevent this absolute fiasco from occurring? This blatant looting of the country at the expense of average working Americans. You know, Trump voters, among others. Okay, there may be some good side to the bill. Where's Susan Collins from Maine? The last Republican moderate, the one who eats lunch by herself and calls it a meeting of the Senate Republican Moderate Committee. Susan Collins has come out and said, well, there are a couple of fixes I'd like, including, to her credit, extending Obamacare in her state. But then once we do that, she'll, as she describes it, hold her nose and vote for the bill. Hold her nose and vote for the bill? Yeah, the bill's a piece of shit, but I'll vote for it. Why? Well, my donors want it. My party needs to say we did something, even if it's something shitty. And they've promised me that they will spend millions and millions of dollars in Maine convincing the stupid constituents that what I did will actually benefit them. And so I'll have political cover. More on the role of our media, as we've been addressing over the last few weeks, throughout this show. Where's John McCain? Brave Senator McCain, who on the campaign trail in 2000 made a heartfelt case for a progressive tax system, who just a few months ago gave that wonderful speech on the Senate floor saying, I respect the institution of the Senate and its procedures and I don't like to see them violated. Okay, maybe he'll be released if they have the numbers to vote against the bill and maintain some small segment of respectability. But where is he now speaking out against what's going on? The theft of the U.S. Senate, the theft of this country. Of course, the brave Republicans that people were looking to have come out because they're retiring and criticized Trump. You're crazy if you thought that Bob Corker or Jeff Flake were going to help out on this one. The only reason they don't like Trump is because his idiocy is making it harder for them to fleece the country and their donors. In a related note, we're looking down the barrel of another government shutdown. A government shutdown created by the right wing of the Republican Party. In fact, there are enough out-of-their-mind conservative Republican congresspeople that the Republicans know that they're going to need some Democrats to avoid a government shutdown. How do they get Democrats? Well, one thing that they're doing is they are holding children's health care hostage. That's right. The ruling party in America, admittedly nobody voted for them, or no majority voted for them, but the ruling party in America is holding children's health care hostage to, among other things, tax cuts for billionaires. The Children's Health Insurance Program, which has expired as of a month ago, its funding has expired. Democrats are saying we need to fund this. We actually think it's a good idea to allow children in America to go to the doctor. Republicans are holding out, won't give in to that until the Democrats agree to let them loot the country more than they've already agreed to so far. Politicians are all the same. I've spoken at length in this show. Any jackass who says that to you is someone who needs to be avoided. Okay, speaking of all politicians not being the same, other news, we have the hollowing out of the United States government. This is not unrelated, this is consistent with the whole idea of tax cuts for billionaires. This concept of starve the beast, again, that we have reported on before. The tax cut plan is even worse than being reported because years down the road, when the savings don't materialize, we're going to be told that we need to cut social programs that benefit poor people. In other words, starve the beast being government. That's what we're seeing now. We're seeing the start of it already. And the first beast we're seeing starved is the U.S. State Department, which is unable to do its job, having forced out thousands of career civil servants representing the United States in diplomacy. Shall I say that word more slowly for my Fox News viewers out there? Diplomacy. We're not hiring in the State Department. We have a 31% proposed cut, additional cut, in State Department staffing. We failed to fill a majority of the most senior ambassadorial positions. What we have filled, we've generally filled with incompetence and cronies. Under post-Benghazi law, the diplomatic security chief needs to speak with the Secretary of State periodically. The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, has been ignoring that. So we're not meeting with the security chief. If there's another terrorist incident around the world against America that results, that's okay. They'll just blame it on Hillary Clinton. Fox News will support them, Breitbart will support them, and their idiot supporters will believe it. No, Rex has more important things on his mind. Our incompetent Secretary of State is worried about our incompetent UN representative taking over for him, Nikki Haley. And apparently, there is a lot of concern that Rex, excuse me, who had the temerity or one bit of good discretion to describe the President of the United States, his boss, as a fucking moron, may ultimately be forced out to be replaced by the equally unqualified Nikki Haley. I thought Trump was the negotiator in chief. I thought we were going to get tired of winning because we were going to negotiate somewhat so well. Instead, we're getting rid of the negotiating arm of the United States government. Trump may think that he can get everything he wants through threats. That's the way he's lived most of his life, with much less powerful people bending to his will. He's finding out that that's not the way the world works. North Korea just did another missile test, a missile that apparently indicates they might be able to reach Washington, D.C. with a nuclear warhead. Thumbing their nose, among other things, in the eye of the President of the United States. We might want to talk this out a little bit, but that's right. We don't have any Undersecretary of State in charge of North Korea. Nobody's filled the position. Why are we hollowing out the State Department? The entire Republican Party and their supporters at this point are built on bullshit. Alternative facts, lack of reason, tell people what you want them to believe, even though it's obviously not true. That might work in America. It might work for people who watch Fox News, Just tell them there's no such thing as climate change enough, and they'll believe it. But when these people meet with people around the world, I assume they get laughed at. Apparently, when they showed up at the climate conference and tried to talk about coal, everybody walked out. This isn't what these guys are used to. So the United States is going to go it alone. Good luck with that one. Also, with hollowing out our government, the battle of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This is a comic sight. You can imagine literally a scenario where two people are trying to push each other off a chair. I think back to the sitcoms from the 1970s, where two people live together and aren't talking, so they draw a line down the middle of the apartment or the house, and one's allowed on one side, the other one's allowed on the other side. This is the way we're conducting the United States government at this point. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is being hollowed out. Trump wanted and did put in his Director of Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney, a guy who's referred to the CFPB as a sad, sick joke, a guy who's been in favor of huge cuts to social welfare programs, a debt hawk who led in the past several government shutdown movements when Obama was the president. Boy, must he be pissed about these tax cuts, huh? No, I'm just kidding. We only care about the debt or the deficit if we're Republicans when there's a Democratic president. We obviously don't care when there's a Republican president. Well, that created a legal battle for who gets to run the agency. What's at stake with the CFPB? It's interesting to look at some of the things that the CFPB that's actually been out there representing consumers has accomplished in the past couple of years. It has punished law-breaking companies. Oh, heavens. It has punished abusive debt collectors, protected mortgage borrowers, achieved $12 billion in refunds and canceled debts on behalf of consumers, home buyers who've been defrauded. It has allowed consumers who've been defrauded by their financial institutions to bring lawsuits, to press a claim when they've been defrauded. As a result, Republicans hate it. Republicans and their big donors hate it. Most of you are probably not old enough to remember when the CFPB was being considered, when the one financial law implemented in the wake of the financial crisis and the Great Recession that it caused. The one bit of law was being considered, the banks came out publicly and threatened Democrats. If you seek to regulate us, we will give all of our campaign donations to Republicans. And now they are following through on their threat, and they are getting what they have promised, what they have been promised. This war on financial institutions protecting consumers includes the Comptroller of the Currency, an actual watchdog group under the Obama administration, but recently renamed from Comptroller of the Currency to Bitch of the Banks. With Trump appointees deciding that we are not going to use the Comptroller of the Currency to actually protect borrowers against financial institutions. One of the things that we are doing is allowing banks more latitude in becoming too big to fail. After all, what could go wrong? Trump says that that the financial industry is, quote, unable to properly serve the public. If the financial industry is serving the public, it's on a plate for somebody to eat. The financial industry serving the public, the financial industry serves itself and feasts upon the public. No, that poor financial industry that can't do its job is only seeing record profits and record stock prices. But that's where our pity should lie. Not in defrauded borrowers, not in an American public that's going to have to bail out financial institutions, but in the financial institutions themselves. Quick digression to cover another piece of news that I just can't let go this week, and that's sexual harassment and the United States Congress. in case you missed the discussions of the 95 Congressional Accountability Act, which was actually good because it allowed people who have been sexually harassed to sue the government. Well, with incredible restrictions, including the fact that they cannot tell anybody that they received a payoff from their congressman. So you elect the congressperson, you pay the judgment when the congressperson misbehaves, and you don't get to know that the congressperson misbehaved. That makes a lot of sense. But that, of course, should put our regular listeners in mind of something that we've talked about at length in this class, which is the use of confidentiality agreements by corporate America, in this case referred to it as an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, which basically makes the victim of a crime complicit in future acts of that crime. Hush money. We will pay you money to settle your claim, but you have to shut up and not tell anybody that we did that. Since 1997, more than $17 million has apparently been paid on more than 260 claims, and we don't get to know who they were against. John Conyers, we find out, his egregious allegations against him of wrongful termination made him give up his Judiciary Committee post. What do we not know about other people out there? I remember a good friend who about a quarter century ago worked as a Senate aide for a United States Senator. And I remember her telling me that it was well known among female Senate aides that there were a whole lot of senators, and they knew which one they were, which ones they were, that you did not get into an elevator with. You did not ever be left alone with United States senators. Maybe something good will happen, and we'll do something about the NDAs. Nancy Pelosi, someone I like and respect, says that revealing the names of the people involved in these suits would hurt the victims. With all due respect to Ms. Pelosi, that's bullshit. That's been used by corporate America for years to justify covering up their wrongdoing so they can continue to make money by doing it. Yesterday, Bernie Sanders was on the radio on one radio show that I like to listen to on NPR, talking about the future of the Democratic Party. Sanders calls for big tent and progressivism. We talked in our last show a lot about the divisiveness in our politics. Where does the Democratic Party go from here? I also respect Senator Sanders and love Senator Sanders. Maybe I've been around for too long. But if the Democratic Party, first of all, becomes too progressive a political party, are there enough people in this country who will manage to rise above the cacophony from corporate America, the lies that will be spread, not just in the right-wing media, but in corporate media, convincing them how much the politicians who actually are out to help them are in fact trying to hurt them? He has a lot of faith in the American public. I hope he's right. I hope that my lesson learned from many years of not having faith in the American public is no longer applicable, and that young Americans are willing to rise up and overcome the call of money. But I worry. Clearly, one side is going to do whatever the money tells them to do. When we talk about the divisiveness, we better hope that we are divided. You look at what's going on in this country now, what's been going on the last few days, this is a tremendously scary moment. And it is hard to avoid the conclusion that on one side of the aisle in this country, people are just remarkably evil and remarkably stupid. How could you let this happen? The Trump voters are getting screwed by everything that's going on in this country. Many of them may wake up, but some of them never will because, well, at least we're screwing black people, at least we're screwing Hispanics, at least we're screwing the Muslims. In other words, as long as we're feeding the bigotry, it'll be okay. Trump knows how to play to his base. This morning, he retweeted an anti-Islamic video, a couple of anti-Islamic videos, put out by an ultra-right-wing organization in Great Britain, leading these ultra-rightists to applaud Donald Trump while the government of Great Britain was disgusted. We are seeing a rise in racism and bigotry around the world right now, led to a large extent by America. How sickening. So how did we get to this point? We've been talking about this for a while, the ultra right-wing media. Well, what's new on the right-wing propaganda front? More trolling. Did you hear about the failed sting attempt on the Washington Post? That was fun. A conservative group made believe that they had a fake story to tell, made believe they had a real story to tell the Washington Post to try to get them to print it and say, aha, it's all fake news. The good thing is the right wing doesn't understand what journalism is. And the Washington Post didn't bite, because before they run a story, the proper news organization confirms that the story's true. This isn't anything new from conservatives who still have their hero, James O'Keefe, who is a hero to the right wing because he keeps running doctored videos to do things like put the community organizing and voting rights organization Acorn out of business. And thus he's a hero, because he's a lying sack of shit. Net neutrality is further down the road of getting rid of net neutrality. The New York Attorney General is investigating corruption of the notice and comment period that is required by the FCC when they're proposing a big rule change like this. And it turns out the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, believes that a lot of these were fake posts put on by corporate America to turn the tide and show support that doesn't exist for getting rid of net neutrality. That's nice. The FCC, of course, is not cooperating in his investigation. Also in the news, net neutrality not only means we can expect that right-wing propaganda will come into our homes at lightning speed, whereas any real news will be slow to a crawl, but also in the news, it turns out, is how much it will harm small businesses. Oh my God, has Ron Johnson heard about this? Small businesses will actually be hurt by this, but he loves small businesses. Yeah, it turns out there's a big fear that it's the big businesses that are going to get into the corporate fast lane. Everybody else is going to be stuck in the slow lane. I was excited to read that Stephen Colbert is leading the late night market even more than he was before, because young people want politics. But then I read that Sean Hannity has 4 times the number of nightly viewers as Stephen Colbert. And my few moments of happiness were once again washed away. Donald Trump has come out with the Access Hollywood tape and said, it's not me. It's probably not me. I don't know. I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know whether it's me or not. It may not be me. I've admitted for months that it's me, but that doesn't matter because my supporters are so fucking stupid that it doesn't matter that for months we've been saying, yes, I said that, but you know, it's not a big deal. Now we're saying, I didn't say that, and they're going, I knew it all the time. I knew it. I knew he wouldn't have said that. They just figure they could say whatever they want, and their people are going to believe it. And they're going to believe it more now that the Koch brothers are about to own Time magazine and are working on the way to owning CNN. The right-wing climate, the right-wing propaganda machine has just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, forcing out whatever real news exists. Well, wait a minute, we've still got the corporate media, or as the right is fond of talking about it, the fake liberal media. Fake liberal media, corporate media, the biggest corporations in the world are supposed to be our liberal saviors? The biggest corporations in the world are out there fighting for higher taxes on big corporations and more regulation of big corporations? In one respect, there is some truth to that. The corporate media is located in big cities and tends to be educated. Do they want this country to be run by Jesus? Probably not. Do they want us to teach creationism in schools? Probably not. Do they want us to all sing prayers before football games? Probably not. Ban abortion? Probably not. On one side, that makes them the liberal media. For the rest of us, it makes them non-brain dead. It makes them reasonable. But on economic issues that people are talking about, the liberal media, Disney, GE, whoever else owns the big companies at this point, that's ridiculous. They're owned by big corporations. They're not shining a spotlight on what big corporations are doing. In the history of the world, no one has ever called a press conference while robbing a bank. So ABC is not going to cover Disney's misconduct, nor is it going to cover the misconduct of its corporate sponsors. Whether or not the Koch brothers own Time Magazine and sit on the board is almost irrelevant. Everybody at Time Magazine is going to know where the money's coming from and what's expected of them if they want to keep their jobs. It's gotten worse in the regular corporate media with getting rid of the fairness doctrine, with corporate cutbacks, financial cutbacks, 40% fewer journalists in 2015 than in 2007. 4.6 people working in public relations for every journalist in America. We are replacing any kind of hard-hitting news with, at best, pablum that's designed to keep us uninformed and distracted. At worst, they join the rush to share stuff that isn't true. Hillary Clinton noted in her recent book that the network news shows spent 32 minutes covering policy in the lead up to the 2016 election. The problem with conservative media and right-wing propaganda is not just that it's growing, it's that it's growing almost unopposed. Next week, we'll talk about what's left of the opposition. That's today's show. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed, so to speak. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio, get informed, make a difference. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.